It was just a silly game, one that youth ministers are prone to pull out of their bag of tricks when an after-church fellowship needs a little structure. I had asked the teenage boys to quietly disappear. The girls and I held a sheet up against a door frame so that the only thing that could be seen, should someone stand on the other side of the sheet, were their feet. The young men were asked to remove their socks and shoes, and they took turns stepping into the covered doorway. It was the remaining group's job to guess whose feet belong to who. Now, it goes without saying that their hygiene, or lack thereof, was not surprising. What surprised me most was how uncomfortable they were exposing their feet. Of course, their discomfort multiplied exponentially when the girls squealed with the unveiling discovery of each boy. So as youth minister, I became so accustomed to asking young people to do uncomfortable things in party games and in order to make the gospel more accessible that I didn't even think twice when I led a Sunday night adult study on the events of Holy Week. My plan was to include foot washing. We were studying the Maundy Thursday scripture of when the disciples gathered with Jesus for their last meal together, and Jesus, towel about his waist, knelt down to wash each of the disciples' exposed feet. In my notes, I had written clearly, the adults will reenact this humbling activity by removing their socks and shoes, dip a towel in a basin of water, and rub the feet of their neighbor one by one around the circle in which we were sitting. I found, however, that the mere presence of the basin, by my pouring water into it from a pitcher, created such anxiety in the room that chairs began to quietly inch out of the circle, arms were firmly crossed against chest, and feet were tucked up tightly under chairs. So instead, I dampened the towel, and I went from person to person, merely touching their hands as a reminder of Jesus's care for them. You could feel the whole room relax just after the first person. So afterwards, one of the participants, it was a young deacon who had been on many retreats with me, could easily project what I was thinking, approached me with his wife, and he said, "Oh, for a minute there, I thought you were going to make us take off our shoes." And when I shared my original plan, they both said to expose our feet for washing would have been too much to endure. What is it about our feet that makes us feel so exposed, so vulnerable? Moses had an experience that brings this question of vulnerability to mind. Born to Jewish slaves working and living under the oppressive Egyptian Pharaoh, Moses enters the world more vulnerable than most. You see, there was a plan in place at his birth to kill all the Hebrew baby boys in order to keep the population numbers in check among the Hebrews. So his mother placed him in a basket in the Nile River in the hopes of keeping her son safe. That alone was risky. But Moses' vulnerability was even more so when Pharaoh's daughter finds him floating among the bulrushes. Courageously telling her Pharaoh father that Moses will be raised as a prince of Egypt in spite of his heritage, the princess brings Moses into the royal household. As he matures, Moses becomes increasingly aware of the injustices inflicted on his people. So when he observes an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave, Moses intercedes. The Egyptian is killed in the altercation, and Moses, more vulnerable than ever before, flees Egypt. He ends up in Midian, where he marries, and his job is to take care of his father-in-law's sheep. It's while he's tending the sheep that he encounters the burning bush. It is a bush consumed by flames, but it is not consumed by the fire. So Moses takes a closer look, And when he does, he hears a voice that instructs him, "Remove your shoes because you are standing on holy ground." And Moses hides his face in fear. When have you stood on holy ground? Now, I wish I could tell you, oh, here's my standing on holy ground story, that maybe it happened at the Dome of the Rock, the mount that sits in the highest point of Jerusalem. We were told there, take your shoes off. You are entering a holy place. You must be barefoot to stand on holy ground. But not one thing stirred in my spirit. I would love to tell you that the prayer-laden walls of Notre Dame Cathedral or St. Chapelle's Chapel in Paris took me to my knees with the awareness of holy ground, but that would not be honest either. You see, the most likely place for me to be tempted to slip out of my shoes is when I'm sharing a little bit of myself as another shares wholly of themselves. We often sit knee to knee or we lean across a table with cups of coffee, the steam coming into our faces. I find it to be especially profound when the other one is actively practicing the imperatives that Paul lists in Romans 12. I'll give you an example from my week. You see, a father sat with me this week. It's probably important for me to tell you he's not an official member of our church, but he's one of those at-large members who loves us and shows up from time to time. And his son has gotten into a heap of trouble. The matter is so serious that a legal team is involved, a judge has been appointed, and as you might well imagine, there are sleepless nights for the parents who are wrought with fear and concern over just what might happen to their son. Now, I'm a parent of sons, and my fear is that if it had been me sitting there, I might have said ruinous things about the character of my child who had made such a poor decision. I think I might rant and rave a little bit, maybe even be vengeful. But this is not what I experienced with this father. This father who sat in my office with tears streaming down his face. Instead, I found that this father was determined to live in harmony with his son. His genuine love was not only going to hate what was evil in the situation, but was equally determined to find the good. This father was exuding patience and tribulation as well as pursuing what was noble about his son. I was grateful to listen. Grateful because it was apparent that we were both on holy ground. What sort of holy ground might we bring to the world's burning needs if we were to live by the imperatives that Paul offers in Romans? Because you see, I believe that holy ground is present when we make ourselves vulnerable enough to honor others rather than ourselves. When we help those who are different from our usual circle of friends. I believe that holy ground is present when we love our enemies, when we feed the hungry, and give the thirsty something to drink. I believe that holy ground is present whenever we clothe the naked and find work for those who hate us. We stand on holy ground when those we are seated next to are forgiven and all the grudges put away forever. Holy ground is present when we overcome evil with good. Now, these are not naive suggestions. They are demands that are put upon us when we walk into God's house and we bow our heads in prayer because we profess to be believers in Jesus Christ. It is such a powerful passage that I was tempted to preface it today with cautionary words like, "This is a reading from the letter of the Romans in which the apostle reminds us of the many ways in which we are likely to disappoint one another." But that day on Mount Horeb, neither God nor Moses disappoints. God not only calls Moses by name, God vulnerably identifies God's self as well. The Hebrew can be translated, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be, or I will cause to be what I will cause to be, or I will be who I am, or my favorite, I am the one who is. Moses hears that this is the God of his ancestors, the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Isaac and Rebekah, the God of Jacob and Leah and Rachel. This is the God of his people. This God is not only the God of history of past generations. This is the God who enters into history every single day. This is the God who hears the cries of suffering people, who comes down into the world and acts on their behalf. This God cares about the abused and the afflicted. This God cares about those in need. This God cares about those who are oppressed. And most importantly, this God promises to save them and us. And so this God calls people like Moses and Dolores and Don and Joyce and Dennis to join him. The question is, will you make yourself vulnerable by taking off your shoes in order to stand on holy ground to hear the call of God? Macrina Whitaker writes, "The Moses in my heart trembles, not quite willing to accept the prophet hidden in my being, who wonders, how much will it cost me if I allow this prophet to emerge? O child of unnecessary shoes, cast them off and stand in readiness on this holy ground. For the Egypt in people's lives demands that you see the burning bushes all around you, aflame, burning wildly, calling you away from the comfort of well-protected feet. The ground you stand on is holy. Take off your shoes." The ground of your being is holy. Take off your shoes. Awaken the sleeping prophet within. Believe in your Moses and go into the world.